Remember that record that you bought me like 2 years ago? Well, I just remembered that it's sitting in the closet, so I called you up just to tell you I've been meaning to listen to that. I've been meaning to listen to that. Why don't you come over and talk about it? Ooh. You come over and talk about it.
It's still a movie that I have a lot of issues with, but you know, I've got the nostalgia behind it.
The Phantom Menace?
Yes. Mummy, I just like genuinely love.
If we're talking about the Mummy. Kind of everyone does, right?
Yeah, it's a great movie.
The original bisexual movie before Challengers came out. So
that sounds like a good double feature. I saw Challengers the other week too. That movie is fantastic.
Oh, I was enthralled. I saw Challengers. Such a fun time. I got like a group of like 10 people to see Challengers, and I was like the whole time I was getting so jazzed, like the techno music, and then like it was just so good. And then I turned over and I go, I think that's my favorite movie of all time. And everyone was like, the techno music is doing too much to you. Like, it's like wriggling its way into your
brain.
It's
like a Euro trash Nine Inch Nails, which is really fun.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, so it makes sense.
Yeah. But
I love Euro trash Nine Inch Nails. If that's what Nine Inch Nails sounded like,
yeah,
I'd be on board. So, this is I've Been Meaning to Listen to That, a show where we use albums as conduits to learn about each other and our guests. I'm Michael Lamentato.
I'm Stanley Philippe.
Oh, sorry. Did I interrupt that? Whoops, sorry.
No, you're fine. We can pull out the audio of that out. Stanley, do you want to introduce yourself one more time, though?
Sure. I'm Stanley Philippe.
And today we have with us our very special guest, Michael Chow.
Yay!
So, Michael, we had some... do you prefer Michael, Mike, Michael...
I like Michael. Michael's good.
Perfect.
Michelle? Do you like Michelle?
Well, very French. Don't love it, though.
Okay, fair enough.
Sad. Tragic, in fact, some might say. Michael, you had some options. What's your kind of music history? Like, gets you excited about music? What makes you want to come and talk about any album before we get into what we're talking about today?
I like rock a lot. I do love ska. I grew up on ska. I was a big Orange County like ska head. So this episode in particular very personal to me.
That's good. That's good. I mean, I think ska is not my forte. I think I was a Christian music head when I was a kid, not by choice. And then when I could have choice, it was all pop all the time. So Gwen has resided there for me, but I was a little too old for Gwen by the time I got to my music listening. I like Bubble Pop Electric and I like a couple other songs by her, but that's kind of it.
Sure.
But what are your guys' history with No Doubt? Maybe Michael will get to you last, since I feel like you as an Orange County ska head, that will be a little more than the rest of us have to say. Yeah. Stanley, do you want to hop in?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Michael, I'm excited to hear your background in this, because obviously it's like right down your alley. I rarely talk about my age on the podcast, but I'm going to age myself here, because I was in high school when this album dropped, and there was this girl I had the biggest crush on. And I remember at our high school dance, they played Don't Speak. And I was like trying to muster up the courage to go and ask her to dance. And right before I could, I turned and she was already on the dance floor dancing with a friend of mine. So here I was on the sideline hearing this breakup song and seeing like a breakup, which wasn't really a breakup because I wasn't dating her, but I felt like it. I felt that emotion. And right from there, I'm like, oh man, like this band means something to me. And so I love this. I love No Doubt. Like there's no doubt about it. And I also really think that Gwen, you know, growing up as a hip hop head, like she really crossed over and dabbled into the hip hop world. And so getting that co-sign from Pharrell and from...
She's dabbled in a lot of worlds.
She just dabbles. Yeah. She's a dabbler.
She's a dabbler.
So that also helped with that introduction. So that's my history with No Doubt / Gwen Stefani.
My history with Gwen is, like I said, fairly limited. I know her as a pop star. I know her as a judge on The Voice, and I know her as married to Blake Shelton. I know she has one of the most interesting voices you can have as a singer. I think she was very, very cool. She had kind of like the it factor in the 2000s that she's definitely lost quite a bit. I think being the wife of a the straightest man on earth potentially is like kind of hits your cool factor pretty hard. I mean, she looks great still, and then of course she's there's so much stuff where I'm like, she has made so much art that has aged so poorly, at least like in the way we consume culture, you know what I mean? Like nothing. I think she probably should apologize for it. Maybe she has, I don't really know, but like Love Sex Angel Music Baby, or what's the name of that album? Yeah, Love Angel Music Baby. Sorry, I was adding an additional one. Like, that's the names she gave the four girls that she had in the, like, it's like very insane, you know? I mean, I guess it was 2004, which I can say is like a different era, and it kind of is, but not good to do. Gwen. Probably if she had put more thought into it, could have known that was bad to do back then as well. But I'm not Gwen Stefani. I'm not her publicist. So all I can do is critique her from my non-famous standpoint. That being said, No Doubt, I know I'm Just a Girl, I know Don't Speak, and I know Hella Good. Is that song? Those are the No Doubt songs that I for sure know. And honestly, of course, any No Doubt song or Gwen Stefani song, I will know it is Gwen Stefani or No Doubt, because I'll be like, who is that dolphin singing, you know? So that's my history. Kind of went on a little bit. Covered my Gwen is problematic stance. I will not keep bringing that up, but that's it for me. Michael, what is your history with her?
Like as I said, I'm from Orange County. We do not have too many cool people from Orange County, so No Doubt does mean a lot to me. Went to a lot of ska shows growing up. I never have actually been to a No Doubt concert, but I was very into like their first few albums. And then I think Rocksteady came out, and I'm just like not as into her like non-ska stuff, and it weirdly feels like a betrayal to me. But I do like really, I still ride or die for No Doubt, and I still really enjoy these albums.
What's it like growing up in Orange County with LA, Hollywood, that seems so close, yet I'm sure it's almost like you want to be as different as possible. Is that why ska was like a big thing in Orange County? Because it was like the anti-Hollywood, or like what's that proximity? Because I'm from Toronto, and you know, we certainly have a music scene, and but we were always trying to compare ourselves to the US, right? Like as a whole. And so was there that kind of like dichotomy or that differentiation that you're trying to make, or were you almost like, oh, we want to make it big? And No Doubt was that band that kind of put Orange County like on the map.
I think like Orange County is just like such a boring suburbs that just having all these like horns and like guitars just like felt like a nice little pop.
Yeah. And I think it was like, a punk town, right? Like a huge punk scene in Orange County, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure as soon as Gwen heard that ska originated in Jamaica, she was like, I have to touch that. I have to be involved in that somehow.
She's like collecting it all like cards.
She's a Thanos of appropriation.
She's like, now I have to do the most boring one. White country wife.
Yeah. What's the easiest shit that doesn't stimulate me? Oh, I know.
Pressing a button that turns my chair around and being a country wife.
Yeah. Like, hey, sis. Okay, yeah, I could be that. I could be sis. Because Blake says that a lot on the show. Hey, sis. That's the voice. That was a voice reference.
Sure.
All right, we're going to cut that. We'll keep it.
I don't either. And she's on it. Yeah, you love it. It's your favorite show.
Oh, I never watched it.
You double feature it with The Masked Singer.
Oh, that's good.
I remember. Do you guys remember? This is maybe a tangent. Do you guys remember when on The Masked Singer, Kermit the Frog was in the snail costume?
Oh, yeah.
Nope. How come that was able to happen?
Well, is it the same show where they like Elizabeth Smart was like the Masked Singer? Or is that
I believe so.
Are there like two different masked things? There's like a masked dancer and masked singer.
Yeah, there's a masked dancer now.
Okay. Yeah.
Which that one to me is less fun. Like, what's fun, I think, about the Masked Singer? I mean, fun is like, you know, if I have to watch this, right? Yeah. Is that you hear their voice and you're like, who could this be? Like when Wendy Williams was the lips, everyone knew that was Wendy Williams, you know what I mean? But like if I'm watching Wendy Williams dance, like, or whoever, right? Like, and it's like, what, did you know that was Dick Van Dyke dancing? And I'm like, sure. Okay. Yeah.
How am I supposed to track that?
Yeah. Right. Oh, I knew him by his signature tabs or whatever. Like, that's nothing.
Let's start talking about
the album.
Let's dive into Tragic Kingdom, because I think like it's such an iconic record. And again, Michael, I think with your history, being that it is like can we label it the album of Orange County? Like, has there been a bigger album to come out of Orange County proper?
Outside of like, I don't know, Steve Martin's banjo albums, probably.
Fair enough. Okay, so then how much do you know about the history of Tragic Kingdom and the buildup of it?
A lot. It's a very like interesting transitional record, because like I know Gwen Stefani was like not the original frontrunner at all. It was John Spence, who like committed suicide, unfortunately. And then the other aspect of it is that her brother, Eric Stefani, was like the original like main writer of all of their work before this. But then he went to go work for The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yes, as an animator.
Yeah, that's like so crazy. That's such a wild career jump. But then Gwen Stefani takes over, and then everything else is kind of history.
Wait, he was still on this record. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is the last one that he was on. So yeah,
I think
it was kind of...
he's like the keyboardist, and I think he did write some of the music, but I think like Gwen ends up writing a lot of the music on it.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
It's very much about like her breakup with Tony. Tony Kanaw.
Yeah, I was reading up about that, like Don't Speak, which obviously we'll get a chance to do a deep dive into it. But they were saying how the original Don't Speak was a much more like upbeat, fun. Yeah. And then once her brother left and the breakup was happening, she's like, let me just rewrite this into like the biggest breakup song. Maybe, is it the biggest breakup song of all time?
I don't think that's a hard thing to rank. There's probably bigger ones.
I think it's Rolling in the Deep could maybe be the biggest breakup song of all time.
Yeah, that's, okay, well then in the 90s that was the breakup song.
No, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to one up you with that's just
no,
a guess.
No, you're right. No, that's a good guess. That's a good guess. Yeah, and like I was listening to this interview with them on Much Music, actually. Shout out to Toronto. They were in Toronto promoting obviously this album and just kind of talking through it. And it was funny how every question was directed towards Gwen. And I think that's one of the tones, the undertones of this, one of the themes, which we can get into of this album is the friction between Gwen and the band, and how obviously there's friction with the breakup. And then also through the rollout of this album, the success, it was so Gwen heavy, right? Like it was so Gwen focused, and that was some of a tragedy because of it. But what other themes do you guys think are present in this album?
I mean, I do think that's like the predominant one. It's like mostly about like that relationship, and then like the band just kind of now like becoming like the Gwen Stefani show.
Yes, definitely becoming the Gwen Stefani show. And then also kind of feels like there's a little bit of like early or mid 90s like feminism as well, where it's, I think with her wanting to take over the album or take over the band. I mean, not, I'm saying that like it's a hostile takeover, but like with the process of her taking it over, right? Like Just a Girl, I think, says a lot of like, oh, like it's kind of tongue-in-cheek, the title Just a Girl. Honestly, that feminist, I mean, there's stuff on this album that I'm like, oh yeah, that's a 90s album, like this is from before I was born, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like I can only not to talk about my age right now, Stanley, but you know, there's obviously some things will not have aged perfectly, but I think Just a Girl still does, and that's a great song.
Yeah, so, it's a banger.
The singles are bangers. This is something I was thinking about when I was listening to this album. This is my first time sitting through this album all the way, prepping for this episode. How were concerts of No Doubt doing this? Like, were people like just like sitting in chairs and like snapping, or is it like a rock show?
I know
what I mean?
People are like moshing and skating.
Yeah, they're moshing. Yeah.
They're moshing.
Yes.
Even to like Happy Now or like.
Yeah, definitely.
Like to all of this, 16 or whatever. Like they're
are
like.
You aware of, are you aware of the dance style skanking? Where you like kind of kick?
Well, yeah, I skank all the time.
Yeah. That's the move you do for ska generally.
Okay. There you go. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, and
I hate this.
Oh, no.
I'm looking at this How to Skank video, and I do not like this.
It's fun. It's good. It makes it feel good. Get to throw your limbs around.
I mean, it looks fun. It's like what Zumba, I think, does to you, I assume. Also, the guy teaching it is wearing a fedora. This is like the 90s looking man I've ever seen. So intro, what to wear, footwear, skinny jeans. These are the sections of the video. Kicking your feet and then modifications. I'm not going to look at modifications. I'm sorry.
It's like wild seeing somebody just like discover the entire ska culture right now.
Sorry, I did not hula skank. I don't want to engage with this any more than this. If listeners want to send me more, do not. If anyone wants to make me engage in this more, I do not want to. This is my limit.
I love that you're like losing your mind at this. Like, so the guy in the fedora that's called a rude boy. You're getting very being rattled by him.
Stay away, rude boy. I'm reverse Rihanna-ing right now.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, Michael, tell us some things you know from the album. Sorry, I'm not trying to be hostile towards. Don't usually host. I usually get to say silly little things. Stanley, I need you to do it from now on.
So no, Michael, you're very much a Gwen. You're a Gwen host, just taking over, appropriating.
My show now.
Yeah, taking jobs from Asian people, Andrew. Yeah.
I'm just a rude boy.
Oh, that's funny. Like the breakup is a a huge theme. I think also like the girl thing I wanted to talk about a bit more because in the 90s, like girl power, obviously the Spice Girls were at the end of the 90s, but in the beginning of the 90s, it's like you had real pushback on what it means to be like a front runner in a band, right? They had different artists like Courtney Love was like this like real presence in the rock world. And then there was this tour called the Lilith Fair, where a lot of different female artists got together and obviously created this huge like tour where folks went out and it really, again, celebrated female empowerment. But it felt like a lot of it was from like, obviously, the quote unquote white woman lens. And Gwen was cool because she was cool. She was interesting because her take on feminism was almost like, hey, I'm just a girl. Like I happen to be a girl, and I'm not trying to make a huge statement or to be standoffish in a way. It's more saying like I'm here, and I might be doing things that you don't think I should be doing, but I'm gonna do them, and I'm gonna have fun doing it. Like there's a very like a lightness to it. I think they kind of called her the anti-Courtney Love. Was that a big thing in ska? Like was there like a movement in ska that was related to feminism at all?
I don't think that there's anything specific to it, but like she definitely like was just kind of paving her own path. Like even her like style was like very different from anyone else at the time, where she's like wearing like very baggy clothes and just like very like punkish hair.
Do we know much about like why the album cover looks like this? Why it's so like space age retro-y? Why it has the like I don't know.
I'm assuming it's an ode to Orange County with the rotten oranges, and then I don't know about the tree, but.
I think he just like likes that like sort of retro style. Like looks like a 60s album, which I think is like very cool.
Yes.
Yeah. I know Tragic Kingdom, why it's called Tragic Kingdom.
Yes, I know that too. I did that. I learned that from my little research. But you want to share something?
No, let me
you share. No, go you ahead. Go. No, no, you go do ahead. It. You do
no,
it.
You go ahead.
Okay,
go
it's ahead. Because one of their teachers called it's Magic Kingdom, Tragic Kingdom. It's like a classic, like silly, like thing someone says that just gets stuck in your brain for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? Like
yes.
That's like I think it was like
seventh grade.
That's right. And do you know why they call themselves No Doubt?
It's because John Spence would just like say that in response to stuff, right?
Oh my gosh, we all did such amazing research.
Wow. We did our homework. We all did our homework.
Don't let me use up everything I know so quickly. I'm already tapping out pretty soon here.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right. I don't love other themes, but I do think that like listening to this album again, for me at least, and I mean, this might be quickly going into our highlights, but for me, it felt like all the singles were the best songs on this record.
Totally. 100%.
So that could be the theme. It's like, hey, really great releasing of your singles, and then you just like shut the bed on everything else. Not, it wasn't brutal, but it wasn't as compelling when it wasn't one of those hits. Like they had highs and then a couple of lows, you know.
The lows are what I'm talking about, though, when I'm talking about what are you listening to? Like, how are you reacting to this at a show? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I just saw a jazz show the other day, and some of this felt very much like the jazz show I saw, where I was seated and drinking wine out of a glass. Like, I don't think... like if people are drinking wine there, it's out of the bottle. You know.
What are the ones that you don't like very much on this album?
I guess we could pick up on like Low Lights. I feel like the title track at the end, Tragic Kingdom, is like kind of boring. Really?
I like it.
Okay, well, I like it too. I kind of like it too.
Well, Stanley, what's one that doesn't hit for you guys? Like, tell me what's not hitting.
Let's talk about Tragic Kingdom. Let's go through that. Okay. I think it's at the end of the album, and it is the title track. So what do you not like, Limitado?
I think Ended on This is a much better closer. Oh,
yeah.
And
yeah.
So when I heard Ended on This, I was like, oh, I'm done listening to the album, especially the first time. And then it was like, oh, here's another song. And it is like, oh, the title track. And it is so much harsher than Ended on This. Ended on This is like a little bit softer of a sound, which I actually... Sure. Liked, not that this is really a softer sound kind of album. I think like Don't Speak is like the softest, if we're calling things soft songs on this. Mm-hmm. But I know Scott is like that bass line and then like kind of going off tempo from the bass line, mm-hmm. but this almost sounds like cartoonishly off from it. Like it's so...
I like that it like literally feels like the kingdom is like falling apart though. Like I think it kind of like builds to that.
Okay. I'll take it. I'll hear it and I'll think about my opinion on it. I don't know. I don't know if that's where I stand yet.
Sure. But I do think that the penultimate track is like one of the best songs on the album. I love like End of
I agree.
This.
I agree.
Yeah. I just want to quickly mention for Tragic Kingdom, I love how it ends, like how the track ends, how they kind of replay and it gets faster and faster and faster and faster. And it's just like it builds into the chaos of the tragedy of their lives. Yeah. I think it really captures it. And then that little like, I don't understand the Star Wars nod.
Yeah.
But I loved hearing it. You know, like it was so random.
We just loved it during the 90s. It was a bit, we were about to get the Phantom Menace in a few years.
Oh my God. This is a Phantom Menace episode. Totally. Like the start of Blank Check.
So that's what made this song more enjoyable. Otherwise, it's so like haunting and, and you're right. Like you're, there's resolution with ending on this. And then you're kind of like, wait, there's more. And then it's just, it's like a haunted house that you're walking into.
Yeah, I think that's like so bold that like the penultimate track is ended on this. And then they like end with this like very like chaotic song.
But sometimes things that are bold aren't good.
That's a bold statement.
Yeah. Yes. It may be good, but is it important, as Courtney Love would say?
All right, so maybe we should get on into highlights.
Sure.
After a quick break, click. That's all I wanted to Perfect. Do. I wanted to say click.
Good job, Stanley. So
you hear that, Andrew? Fuck you, Andrew. I'm going to say click from now on. I am the click captain now. Wow.
All right, guys, and welcome back. We are here talking about Tragic Kingdom with special guest Michael Chow. And we are going to hit on highlights here. So we are starting to delve into lowlights, but I'm not ready for that yet. I was argued down for my one lowlight. So luckily we're not yet at that segment of the show. So let's hit on highlights. Mine are going to be right across the bat. And I think so are Stanley's. Michael, do you want to hit us with one?
Yeah, like their singles are obviously like great, like Spiderweb, Just a Girl, Sunday Morning, Don't Speak. They're all like bona fide classics. I really like Excuse Me, Mister. I like really like that weird little like honky talk piano that comes in the middle of it. I don't know how you feel about that, Michael.
I thought it was interesting. Like a lot of this I find really interesting, but okay. Then that honky tonk piano comes in. That's when I'm like, that was literally when I had the thought, like, what's this show look like? Like what, like, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I feel that the shows that I go see, I will go see Fleet Foxes or I'll, which is a chiller vibe than like a lot of shows, but it's a lot of like standing and kind of nodding. Yeah. Like there's never like a mosh pit forming at Fleet Foxes, right? Or if I'm seeing Charlie XCX, it's just like people going like absolutely rabid for like electric music, right?
Yeah.
It's like watching Challengers, right? Like my mouth is foaming. I'm having a great time. But then this with the honky tonk piano, I'm like, when that comes in, or is that when I start freaking out?
Yes, Michael, exactly what you just do. Do you like not think it's like fun?
I think it's fun, but it doesn't. It makes me want to do like "Hello, my baby." It makes me want to dance like Michigan J. Frog. It doesn't make me want to like.
Which is skank. Actually dissimilar. Yeah, that's a skank.
Yeah, someone needs to pull me off with a cane if I start doing that.
I think The Climb is like a really like fun ballad, and Don't Speak is just like a fantastic breakup song. Those are like my favorites off of it, I think.
Can you speak more on The Climb? Like what gets you about it? I felt like that was very long when I listened to it.
Sure. I just think it's like, I don't know, it like really captures what it's like to like try to get over like a Herculean like feat, like which for her would be like getting over this breakup and like getting past like all this baggage that comes with the two people that have left the band. I think it's like really interesting. And like her kind of just like coming into her own.
Yeah. It is. And it's again like the story of this band. Like it's fascinating how we only really see the finished product. It's like if we were like in a cooking class and most of the time we're just the ones who are at the restaurant waiting for the plates to be delivered to your table and then sampling and be like, wow, this is good. It was so quick. I got here. The food was ready. But we don't see the process of the chefs becoming chefs. And there's so much like turmoil within this band to get to this point. And I don't think any of them, at least from what I listened to, really thought that they were going to do anything bigger than, with all due respect, in Orange County. Right. And so the concept of The Climb and how it relates to their specific journey, I think is really fascinating. I don't love this song. Like I didn't like the song itself, but the idea of it, I really do appreciate for sure.
Yeah.
I think the lyricism, especially reading through the lyricism, a lot of these songs, I think it's much more interesting. I think I'm distracted by the instrumentation. Yes. I'm distracted by the ska-ness of it all, and I realized that that's what made this so popular, right? Like this brought ska into the forefront of culture for a while. Like people started ska bands because of this. So who am I to say that this is good or bad, right?
I'll say like I think a pretty notable part of like a lot of ska music is like there is like a weird contrast between like how like happy and jangly the music sounds and just like how sad a lot of the lyrics are. Like the Mighty Bosstones do that a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, where they're like, they sing about like death, like all the time, but like it's always this like very happy horns and bass and everything.
Totally agree on that front.
Yeah. So for me, my biggest highlight is Sunday Morning. And before I get to the song, I really like how it transitions from 16 to Sunday Morning. Just like the drums, like and then ding, 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 ding. Like that was a really, it kind of got me back into the album, to be honest. Like that section was like, oh shoot. And then Sunday Morning hits. And for me, it's my second favorite Sunday Morning titled song. My favorite is Sunday Morning by Chaos, who's a rapper from Toronto. Shout out Chaos if you're listening. And I really like the idea of give me shout outs to artists and say like if they're listening, because what if they are, like it'd be so dope if Chaos is like, yeah, I just happened to be listening to this awesome podcast and I got a shout out. So shout out to you, Chaos. I hope you still make music because you're so good. But Sunday Morning, this one, great. It's a great song, fun mm-hmm. song. But again, like the contrast, like the theme or the lyrics are speaking to the breakup, right? And mm-hmm. between her and Tony. So, but it just is a fun one to sing along to. There's just a lightness to this. A lot of this record too, right? Like it's mm-hmm. it's a very digestible record. Yeah. It's not one that, although it's dealing with heartache and breakup and darkness, mm-hmm. it doesn't keep you there all the time, you mm-hmm. know. Mm-mm. So for me, Sunday Morning was a big highlight.
Yeah, that's like one of my favorite songs in general.
Mm-hmm. I think in that same vein, and to avoid picking a single, because I think we'll talk about the singles here in a second, I am going to shout out 16. I actually really like the sound of 16. I do not necessarily feel like I understand the messaging of 16. I know there's a little bit of like, you're young, so no one respects you. But there's also a little bit of like, you're 16 and there's nothing you can do to please them. You want to take a peek. Like there's a little bit of like teenage sexualization there that I'm kind of like, I don't know about this. Like, I don't want to, I don't know about this. That's fine. But I do think it speaks to like Gwen's thing that she's doing on this album, which is like, I'm just a girl. I'm just like, I just happen to have been young. I happen to be young. Like, mm-hmm. I still have things to say. I still matter. Right. And yeah. I think that's mm-hmm. a lot of this. And the sound of this one is really fun. I think I vibe with the like kind of heavier guitar at the beginning and the, I like that it's more singing than I think a lot of the other songs on this have. Like, I feel like she's very present in it in a way that sounds good to me. Some of her singing gets a little like cat whaley to me on some of these songs.
Do we go into the singles now? Are there other non-singles that we want to highlight or speak to in a less than lovely way?
Are we cutting out the lowlights entirely if we're doing that?
Happy Now, I think, is like a really good song.
Okay. So for me, that's a bit of a lowlight.
Oh, okay. All right.
So Michael,
what
tell
did
us,
you like about it?
Well, I don't love the chorus of it. Like, are you happy? Like, I just, I don't know. It just kind of gets a bit repetitive and it doesn't bring me anything outside of that kind of flat statement.
Sure.
And yet it was a single and it did really well and people love it. What Michael, what do you love about it?
It's a good question. I just like, I don't know. I do actually like weirdly like the simplicity of it. For whatever reason, it just like kind of rings well for me.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense. Like, especially with how like they're throwing everything at this album. Sometimes it's nice to have the reprieve.
It's not like my favorite song on the album, but I do like that song.
And I think I hit on Tragic Kingdom still not being my most favorite. Even with the context I was given, I molded over and the results have been tabulated and I still don't really like it. So,
all right, there you go. So we don't have like low lights. We have
there's one song I really don't like. So I like, I actually like love most of the songs. The one song I don't like is You Can Do This. I just like, don't think it like, I don't know. Like, I don't even dislike disco, but it just like feels very fake to me. How do you both feel about it?
Yeah, I agree. I again, it's there's like a lot of like, and I love that they're just saying like, let's just do whatever we want.
Sure.
With these songs.
Yeah.
But sometimes we do whatever you want, and what you want isn't really what we want. Then it doesn't translate as well. And for me, yeah, You Can Do It is very forgettable. Like, it doesn't really. It doesn't do it for me at all, you know.
It really like sounds like it could be like any band. It doesn't even sound like
I have such bad taste. Oh my god, I like that it's so generic. I enjoyed being like, what is happening right here? Like, it kind of made me laugh, and I was kind of grooving. I was
okay.
I didn't consume it hardly at all. It does sound like everything you guys are both saying is 100% correct.
Yeah,
but what's making that a little bit to you guys? It's kind of working for me a little.
I don't like hate it, but like whenever like I listen to this album, like when that comes on, I'm like, oh, am I actually listening to like a different? Is the album over?
Yeah, did I queue up a song on accident or something? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's not a bad song. It's like perfectly fun, but it is like forgettable to me.
Can I say I've been in like a Dua Lipa space lately?
Sure.
Because I've been really wanting to listen to Radical Optimism, which I actually like quite a bit. Yeah. This is like dating when we record it. But I was listening to this on my way to the gym this morning. And then I was like, I've listened to this enough for now. I'm going to listen to Dua Lipa. And then I'm like, you know what? We're recording the episode today. Like, I should probably just listen to this. And then I was like, let me hop back into Tragic Kingdom. And I started back in with You Can Do It. Like, I felt like that was my best way to, like, okay, smooth myself back into this. Yeah. You
know? That makes sense. Yeah, yeah, palate cleanser.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, it's not Dua Lipa, but it's close.
Yeah, that explains why you like it. Okay.
Yeah.
And it's funny that it's after Don't Speak. And I wonder if that was intentional. Like, it's almost like
this one's a bummer.
Yeah. Also, like, Don't Speak is also like a very different song from the rest of the album, but I think it's like a really like sad and sweet song.
Mm-hmm. I think Don't Speak is incredible. It's incredible. Let's get into it. Yeah. I think the fact that it is like, it's a classic, like almost everyone knows Don't Speak, which is insane. Like you'll recognize it almost from the very beginning. Like you don't even have to hear her sing to recognize it, which is like, that is a next level.
It's a heartbreaking song and it like really captures that feeling. Like, we know it's like over and like, I don't want to think about this anymore, but I still want to think about this so much.
Yeah, it's interesting because like, I'm sure there are so many bands have had relationships within and obviously breakups as well and a lot of messiness. But the fact that we all know who it's about, and in that era, like even like at Coachella, like they played this song over and over and over again. And it's like, I think part of the appeal of it is the awkwardness of us having to see them together and Gwen singing this, and while Tony's in the back, like,
yeah, good on Tony, really.
You know, like, yeah, like taking this every day and everyone's singing, like, Don't Speak. Like, it's just like, I have a voice. I should say something. You know, like this, that kind of illustration of what being part of someone's story, and that's what music really allows you to do, is tell your story and have other people really participate in the storytelling. And this is telling a story that we can all relate to, right? That heartbreak, that breakup, that yearning, but also understanding how bad it got. And yeah, it's like you said, Limitado, Michael, that, you know, you don't need to hear like the very first lyrics, you know, you just hear the song start playing, you know exactly what it is. You know, it's an epic song.
Mm-hmm. I'll say I really like the like Latin influence it has too. Mm. It's like it's a very saucy song.
Yeah, that's like, that's when appropriation is good, you know. When you're able to take it and like use like subtle elements of it and really amplify your actual, you know, taste and story. Totally. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's like good seasoning. I don't know why I'm talking about cooking a lot, but it's like really good seasoning. I'm hungry. All right, so Don't Speak, we're all, this is the unifier track.
Yeah.
Like,
we all agree. It is.
It's like, no.
So it's okay,
what do you speak would, more like?
Would you say it's the best song on the album? Is that your favorite on it?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it's the best. It's not my favorite song, but it's the best song.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
For sure. Do you all like how the album opens with spider webs?
I don't really like spider web. Oh,
really? Oh, you're allowed to not like it.
No, it's neither here nor there. It's kind of middle ground for me. I feel fine about it. It's a little like beachy almost to me, which is, it's kind of like, I don't know if that makes any sense at all.
That's sort of like SoCal, like sunny vibes.
Yes. It's SoCal sunny vibes, which I think, knowing that this has like Just a Girl and Don't Speak, which is like the only thing I knew about this going into it. Mm-hmm. I was like, where is this going? Like, this whole album is very confusing to me. Scott confuses me.
Sure.
I don't like it, and I will not engage. Again, I will engage with it more after this. Sure. That's it for me.
Sure. I'm glad I introduced you to something that you hated.
I like to have my boundaries expanded, and I didn't hate this album. Okay. It's just not going to be something I'm like, ooh, more please. You know, it's like when you try a new food and you're like, that was interesting. Yes.
I know exactly what you mean. I like Spiderwebs. I think it's a great album opener. It's a fun track. And it's even more enjoyable with Tragic Kingdom finishing the record. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. you like, if you ever had to replay it, it'd be a really great, oh yes, I'm out of this like nightmarish moment and I'm back to just dealing with cool, fun spiderwebs. You know, like mm-hmm. it's just a, it's, and I think that I like that they start with spiderwebs, excuse me, Mr. and then Just a Girl. Like that opening yeah. is a really great way to open an album and to set yeah. a tone of like, we're going to do some different stuff here. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to keep it light, or we're going to try to keep it authentic, but we're also yeah. going to like just try things, you mm-hmm. know? And again, spiderwebs was a really cool single and a really great way yeah. to start this album.
It's a nice like contrast between the first two songs where like Spiderwebs is very much about her like kind of ghosting a guy that she's not that interested in. And then like, mm-hmm. excuse me, Mister is like her pining over a guy that like just will have nothing to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's yeah. like, really cool too for there.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point, actually. I wonder if she ghosted that guy because of the excuse me, Mister guy.
Yeah, probably. I would mm-hmm. guess so.
I wonder if excuse me, Mister guy was a chef.
Do you guys think
that would make
Remy?
A lot of sense?
It is Remy or a linguine, right? Is
yeah, like, right? Yeah, it's not the rat, I guess. I do want to say one more thing about spiderwebs, and I mean this with full sincerity. Do you guys think Gwen Stefani was the original woman whose web connected us all?
Yeah, that movie should have had some No Dad on it, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. It didn't.
That would have made it good. That's yeah. what it, that's what it turned it around.
Shout out, Madam Web. Go see it. Go see it, folks.
It's yeah, see it movie. In theater. Support small business.
Yeah, support women. If you like
support
it,
women. Honestly, this is my real recommendation. Go see Challenger. Oh my God. Sorry for talking about Challengers again, but I have a story that I heard the other day or earlier today that I need to share. So the end of the movie of Challengers, as you, Michael, you know, Stanley, you do not know, but the end of the movie is a little vague, right? And I mean, ostensibly, right? And I also guess so, but I saw a set of interviews where it was like, Zendaya, what do you think happens? And Zendaya is like, oh, I don't know. Like, I think probably this person won, da da da. And then they were like, oh, you know, Mike and Joshua, what do you guys think happened? They're saying that. And then they're like, oh, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what happened. They're all just very like unsure and kind of just thoughts on it. And then they asked the director, like Luca Guadagnino, and he's like, they all went back to the hotel and kissed. Like,
yeah, that was my take on it, really.
Yeah, thank you. I just love like this like gay, horny Italian man being like, I love to direct cinema.
Kiss, not
kiss,
mangia.
More kisses. Okay, that has nothing to do with this. I'm sorry. That's just me wanting to share that story.
Go see Challengers.
Go see Challengers.
Yeah, it's the most anime movie of the year.
It really is. The slow motion, the sweeping underneath the tennis court, the see-through tennis court shot. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I was like, I got up from my seat and yelled, come on, when they showed the undercourt tennis shot.
I say you started skanking when you saw that.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'd certainly did. Yeah. It's a one-man mosh pit.
Yeah. Okay. Any other, Michael? Any other either highlights or lowlights or midlights or nightlights or any lights that you want to speak about that we haven't touched on?
I mean, honestly, like other than the one disco track that Michael likes, I really like. Love this album.
I heard the disdain in your voice when you said that. I don't love it, okay? I was fine about it.
No, I think it's like a banger of an album. Summer's coming up. It's a good summer jam. It's good. It's great.
If you, you love it now.
Oh, not that song. Yeah, if you want to know the positive sides of Orange County, please listen to Tragic Kingdom.
Other Michael, Limitado, any other highlights?
I mean, did we talk about Just a Girl really? A little bit, I guess, but that's
go into it.
Fun. That is
so fun. Yeah.
That is a song that you can jam out. That is a summer roll down the windows. That is like on, you know, I would put that on a playlist to give to people like this. That is the song on this album, in my opinion.
The voice is like perfect for it, too, where it's like it's a very sarcastic song.
Yes. I think Gwen has such a unique voice that, I only want to hear a little bit of. And so I think I think the whole album is tough for me in that way too.
So do you like prefer her like pop stuff then?
I definitely prefer her pop stuff. I think when the instrumentation is matching her vocals, it doesn't feel. I mean, I'm quoted on this album as like women should sing. Women should on this podcast. Women should sing. Women are supposed to sing. You know, if you believe in God, God invented women to sing. That is what women are for. Number one, men are not supposed to sing. Men should not sing. I shouldn't say that's what women are for. That's not good. I mean this in a silly way. That being said, I love a female-fronted band. Like, Paramore is one of my favorite bands of all time. And I think Paramore wouldn't exist if No Doubt didn't exist. So I have to give props to No Doubt for doing that in the first place. I don't know if that's true, actually, but I do think they take a lot of inspo from No Doubt, at least. So Just a Girl is very poppy. I feel like it's in rhythm, unlike some of the other songs. It all feels unified. It feels tied together. It feels very clean. I have a harder time with like more experimental music consumption.
I love the idea of ska being experimental.
I mean, compared to like some other stuff we talk, even it's more experimental than like rap or hip hop, even, I would say. I think you're doing a lot more interesting things with rhythm and instrumentation. And I say rap or hip hop, just thinking about like other things we talk about on this show or what we've done recently. Like, I think like I'm used to such crisp production and such clean, like, I'm not used to the sound walls that I'm getting from this, where it's mixed instrumentation and even the tempos being changed up. Like, I played the cello, I played the piano when I was growing up. I'm used to playing instrumentation, but I'm used to like a cleanliness through it all. Like, I was never part of the modernist music cycle. So that's why pop music does speak to me, because it's so layered and so like unified, I think.
Yeah, it's almost like intentional with pop, whereas like ska is like there's that improvisation piece to it, right? It's like there's almost a lot more freedom. I think that's what you're referring to with like rap and stuff. Like, a lot of hip hop has almost like a formula. It's formulaic, right? It's like,
that's what I mean. Yes, there's a formula to it, and you can, if someone strays from it, either they're a huge hit and they reinvent the sound of the. They reinvent the game, or they are terrible.
Those are your two options. Whereas ska, like, you can like try to reinvent ska, and it's not terrible. It's not great. It's just you doing ska in the way that you do it. You know, like, so that individualism almost, that's present, and the rule bending of what makes it ska is what makes ska ska. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense? Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and Just a Girl, like. Again, watching Coachella a couple weeks ago and seeing Gwen performing this, or I guess No Doubt performing this, that song was like you said, it's the moment. It's the moment where everyone's just like, yes, like 20 years later or more than that, years later, it resonates to a level that could have been like a pop hit today. You know, if it dropped today, it could still, you know, move crowds, move audiences. And there's, again, there's like you said, Michael, there's like a, it's a one song that tries to fit within the rules of what rhythm is supposed to be when you're singing on top of a track, and and it works really well.
It follows my, it itches my brain in the correct way.
Yeah. Just a Girl. Okay. Big hit. I love it. Yeah,
big hit. Song. All right. I don't have anything else to say on the album. What about you, Stanley?
No, I think I'm ready for our, I guess, our ratings, our final rating of the album.
Yeah, final thoughts, final ratings. Stanley, do you want to go first?
Sure. Yeah, so Tragic Kingdom, a really good album, obviously an important album in the 90s kind of lexicon, and it does a lot of really positive things. It brings Gwen to the forefront. It brings the idea of experimentation to a different level and to a different audience. There's some really big hits on this. And then there are some songs that are okay. For that reason, I'm going to give it 7.5 visits to the Magic Kingdom out of 10.
That's awesome. That's really good.
This is like one of my favorite albums. That's a very big album for me. I like almost every single song on this album. I love Gwen Stefani. I love the summer vibes. I love, I'm going to give it, nine visits to the Magic Kingdom out of 10.
I'm Canadian, so I can only afford 7.5. Yeah.
And every year it's even less too. Yes. So watch out. Liked listening to this. I was glad to have my borders expanded. I'm always happy to listen to new music that our guests bring on, even if it's not something I particularly identify with, right? I really liked I'm Just a Girl. I already knew I really liked I'm Just a Girl. I was glad to tackle this album, and honestly, I'll probably listen to it again, which is a good place to be. So I just don't give me any more, Scott. Fair. I'm full after this one. So I'm going to give this album 7 out of 10 worrisome rules of thumb. Mm. Yeah.
That's pretty good, though, actually. Yeah, you liked it more than I thought you did.
Yeah, no, I'm just talking. That's the point. If I don't have opinion, if I don't come out of the gate with opinions, what's the point?
You're right.
I don't think there's none of this makes me want to like absolutely skip it. None of the songs are pure skips to me. I will listen to the whole thing, which says is a lot more than some other albums we've done for the show where I just am bored and tired by the end. This is below an hour, which is awesome, you know. It's not the 37 minutes that Radical Optimism is, but you know, that's something that's for the pop grillies. I do think Tragic Kingdom is maybe a skip, but it's at least like I can think of it as like a bonus track, and then that makes me feel more relieved. So that is our episode. For plugs, Michael, is there anything you'd like to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Sriracha Chow. I usually have like cartoons or otherwise I'm talking about movies or music or whatever.
Perfect. And you can follow the show at IBM TLTT, or I've been needing to listen to that on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow Stanley at Stapasten. You can follow Harper at Harping About. You can follow Andrew at Andrew Lee, Andrew A. Lee, I believe. And you can follow me at Lemon Taco. So thank you so much for coming on the show, Michael.
Yeah, of course. Had a blast.
Of course. Have a great day.
Bye. Click.